Welcome to the West Coast Project podcast for Better Call Saul. My name is Mike, and I'm here with Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
That was take three for that intro, but we'll go with it. We're here tonight for episode 307, episode 7 in season 3, titled 1 Minute, right?
Yes.
You know, I had my calculator out tonight, Kelly. I was doing all kinds of math, so all these numbers are jumbled on me tonight.
I wondered if you were going to be doing some math with some of Gustavo's stuff.
Yeah, and I can't even tell you if it's in this one or in another one, but I had the calculator out, so it'll come up when it comes up, I'm sure.
Great. Well, this one is directed by Tom Schnauz. It's written by Tom Schnauz and Michelle McLaren, who did the most episodes, was a director. So this is a good one.
Schnauz was hired during season 3, right? And stayed for the rest of the series?
Yes. And Tom and Vince are actually, they went to NYU together.
Okay. So is it Vince and Tom who were bored that one day and said, what are we going to do? We got to get a job. Well, hey, let's cook some meth in an RV. Was that those two?
Yeah, they. I guess Tom had read an article about somebody who got busted for cooking meth, and then he started talking to it about with Vince, and that's how Breaking Bad, the concept, was born.
Got it. Have you seen the original script for, like, the screenplay that Vince wrote up for like, the pilot?
No, I would love to see that.
I have my hands on it. I don't know where I got it, but I'll send it to you if you want to post it. Or maybe, I don't even know if we should post it, but somehow I got my hands on it. It's really cool. It's like I think it's in Riverside County, California, not in Albuquerque.
Right.
And the guy's name, Jesse's name, is different. But it's interesting to read it. It's the pilot script.
Yeah, I'd love to see it if you have the opportunity to get it into my hands.
Okay. Hopefully I'm not breaking any copyright laws by saying I have it, but somehow I saw it and have it. But here we are, episode 7 in season 3, 1 Minute. We'll jump in where Saul is here. I'll put a little bit of a non-Saul in to start with. It's Hank, essentially, the repercussions of what happens at the end of Sunset when Jesse and Walt escape from the RV situation they're in. You might remember they got that phone call from Saul's secretary.
Yes.
And that kind of faked Hank out that his wife was in a car accident. So he is pissed off. And the first thing we see about Hank being pissed off is him coming in and just beating the crap out of Jesse for that fake Marie accident.
Right, exactly. And I can imagine he would be pretty pissed and probably felt pretty stupid and duped, too.
Man, he hits Jesse so hard that he just knocks him back off his feet.
Right, yeah.
When he lands, he pounds him, 10 times in the face.
Yeah, I guess he was punching into a pad for that scene. So luckily that wasn't actually Jesse's face.
Right. So then Hank's pretty tough. He sticks around and takes the responsibility for it. He doesn't try to cover it up. He doesn't run away. He sits and just waits till everybody shows up and takes credit or responsibility for it.
Right.
But this tees up what we need to know about Saul. So at the hospital now, Saul shows up and starts taking pictures with his phone of Jesse's face, calling him, "Yo, Adrian, that's your get-out-of-jail-free card." He's all happy. His lawyer mode is really kicked in here. He's not very compassionate.
Right. I'm really loving the blue and white tracksuit that he has on, too, with the Izod preppy shirt. He just looks like he's in comfortable mode. Usually see him in a suit, so he must have been on the golf course or something this day.
Yeah, or the massage table.
Right, yeah.
So Walt asks what happens now, and Jesse pipes up and says, "Your scumbag brother is done." He just vows that he's going to get even with Hank and destroy him, sue him. And what does he say? Something about haunting him until he's dead and gone.
Yes. Yep. He's feeling powerful at this point.
Yeah, you can't blame him. He's hurting, I'm sure. So Saul is a little worried that Jesse's diving a little too deep on this and tries to say, don't do this. Use Hank's injuring you as a reason to have leverage over him.
Right, because when he first comes in, he's kind of cocky and sort of gives the idea to Jesse that, oh man, you got a, you know, got a payday coming. Let me take some pictures of you, and kind of gives him the wrong idea when he starts to turn it. Because he kind of sort of backpedals, like, hey, maybe I've overstated the power of your face here.
Yeah. But Jesse's starting to show that he can play the long game, too, because he's going to start cooking again, and now he knows if he gets caught, he can make a deal to give up Walt or Heisenberg, and so he's got leverage now that he knew of, too.
Right, yeah.
In a different way than just getting free from the law, he can actually get leverage over Walt.
Yeah, I assumed he was talking about Hank, and then he says, I'll give up the great Heisenberg. So you're right, he's really got an idea there. And, you know, you don't want to make Heisenberg nervous, that's for sure.
So here we see the great Odenkirk, his drama and his comedy kind of blend together. He says, there's no honor among thieves, except for us, of course.
Fine.
he's talking to Walt, and then he says, we may have to consider other options. And Kelly, I thought he was going to drop a Belize on us here.
I did too, but he just walks away.
Can't remember where we heard that first notice of Belize, but that's the when you die, you go to Belize. But that's what Saul's thinking, is we may have to bump off Jesse here to shut him up.
Right, because it's funny, because we just saw Saul begging Jesse to cook. And then it just flips around where now he doesn't want him to cook. So things change so drastically.
Yeah, well, he's got Walt now. He doesn't need Jesse to cook. He doesn't want Jesse to mess up the good thing that he thinks he's got with Walt.
Exactly.
But Saul's not so sure that he's going to come around. And this was an important part of the series, I think, Kelly, because this is where Jesse's really comes back into the series. He's in for the long haul after this pounding by Hank. Because I thought a few important things happened after this hospital stay. Walt gets more bonded to Jesse as his leader and father figure and all that. And Walt does seem to have Jesse's back. You know, he covers for him. Because even when he left, he was saying, you know, you do have a good cook. You know, you do have good skills at cooking.
Right. Exactly.
And I think at this point, Jesse could have gotten out of the whole game, but he doesn't. He stays in.
Yeah, well, you know, there's the draw of they have egos, him and Walt. And he just got told, like, hey, you know, you're in, I'm out. You're out, I'm in. And, you know, they're constantly kind of going back and forth. And Jesse, whether he knows it or not, tries to prove himself to Walt over and over again.
And another thing I thought is it's just Aaron Paul acted himself into a long-term role at this point. It's really, this is only season 3. The bulk of the series is still ahead of them. You know, Jesse could have got bumped off any time, any point here. But now he's too important. Aaron Paul's proven that he's too good of an actor to lose from this series now. They can't bump him off.
No, they can. And Vince Gilligan definitely didn't want to. He's a very talented guy. Even in this scene where he has, you know, a lot of dialogue and it's very vengeful, he just sells it.
So we're jumping around a little bit here. So we'll go from Saul to the DEA. But Hank makes a statement about what happens at the junkyard, but pleads the fifth about what happened at Jesse's house and hitting him and stuff. He doesn't want to give him too many details, I guess. But they find out that Jesse's filing charges.
Right, which is going to make him really nervous, of course.
Yeah. So we see Hank in the elevator with Marie, and he just breaks down. I don't think it was a panic attack, but I think it just showed that Hank's human. You know, he's essentially thrown his career away.
Right, over some kid, some junkie kid, all that work he's done, and he just lost his temper.
And then they're all composed by the time the elevator goes down 6 floors. They're fine to the world again when the doors open.
Yeah. Well, it's very seldom that Hank shows his vulnerable side. He definitely wouldn't show he was crying in front of his colleagues.
But we needed Jesse to press these charges because it drives the plot forward. And we find out that Skyler tells Walt that Hank's in trouble unless he does something. If Jesse presses charges on Hank, Hank's going to be in big trouble. So Walt needs to do something to rein Jesse in.
Right. Yeah. Because you forget they are still family. So You don't, and Skylar's onto all this now, so of course she's not going to want Gus to lose his position. I mean, not Gus, Hank.
Yeah, really. And, you know, the other thing I noticed, too, that Walt is now living a much nicer lifestyle than Skylar and Junior.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't she say something about that, like, crime does pay? She sees that nice apartment.
Right, yes. Yeah, she's noticing the differences, for sure.
So now, at next scene at the Super Lab, we see that Gale's all dressed up. He's not in his hippie sandals anymore. He's kind of business casual in his khakis.
Right, yep. And, you know, I think he's actually almost kind of parodying what Walt wears in a way. Like, I really feel like he tries to impress Walt, that he really looks up to Walt with his chemist knowledge.
Right. So we've kind of seen through this little scene with Saul here the whole mechanism for what's going to happen with getting Jesse and Walt back together. Jesse's going to cook. Walt doesn't want that to happen. Walt doesn't want Hank to get in trouble, so Walt has to get Jesse under his thumb a little bit by inviting him to be his partner in the Super Lab. That's the way to do it, and so that's how they get those two back together.
Right, genius writing. Yeah, because you think, how are they going to get rid of Gale? But I also don't think that Walt respects Gale in the way that, for some reason, he has a love-hate relationship with Jesse.
Maybe not. Maybe he's not as fatherly to Gale, but I think he's more of a kindred soul to Gale than with Jesse. Certainly, I think that. But yeah, he's way more protective of Jesse. So, hey, let's talk about some of the other stuff in the episode. Earlier in the very beginning of the episode, we see Tio and the little boy cousins. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. Those are actually twin brothers, not identical twins, but a principal had called and said that he had two twins that they were looking for because they went to the schools to find these two kids.
And the Moncadas as adults are twins, right?
They are brothers, but not twins.
Oh, they're not twins. Okay.
Uh-uh.
They look like they could be.
Yeah, they're brothers.
I wonder how far apart in age they are. Do you know?
I think just a couple years.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty close in age.
Well, we see Tio on his big-ass old cell phone talking to somebody about Gus, how he hates Gus. And you think that was Bolsa, maybe? Or that other guy? Who is the main cartel guy?
I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but this is... Yeah, he's pretty young here.
Yeah, Tio. So you think the other guy... Who is that guy? That guy from Scarface. Can't think of his name.
Oh, the guy here, Mark Margolis?
No, Mark Margolis is Tio. I'm thinking of the guy who at the poolside when Gus goes down there and drops the poison on him.
Oh, yes. I cannot think of his name. I have a hard time keeping the cartel name straight.
Don Eladio?
Yes.
I can't remember his real name. His real name's a very popular guy, very popular actor from Scarface. Anyway, I'll either edit that out or leave it in, whatever. But in another cool scene, we see the cousins meet with that trucker, this weapon-selling trucker dude, the guy that talks real fast.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I was not expecting what had happened in that scene, just shooting that guy in cold blood when he's got his trying out the goods.
And that little scene sets up some stuff that happens later on. He gives him that little bullet, Black Death hollow point bullet that's kind of Chekhov's bullet. And sells them some bulletproof vests, right?
Right.
So let's just go quickly through what happens here with the rest of the episode. Walt gets rid of Gale essentially by saying you're messing up, you're making errors, and tells Gus that he needs to tell Gale he's out and I need to pick the next person, and that's going to be Jesse. So that's how he gets him back in. Jesse turns it down right away. He doesn't want to do it. Later on, he reconsiders and tells Walt he's going to do it. So the name game for 1 minute, Kelly, was this 1 minute warning that Hank got in his car.
Yes.
Right. And essentially he's in his car leaving from the meeting with the DEA people. He's been relieved of his badge and his gun. So he's defenseless. And he gets a warning that somebody's going to attack you. And at the time, did you know who that call was coming from?
I did not. They had me completely confused at that point.
Actually, right before this, Hank's on the phone with Marie, and nothing good ever happens to Hank when he tells Marie on the phone that he loves her. So this is the first of a couple times where he runs into some trouble. But he looks at the clock in his car, and he sees it's 3:07 p.m., and, of course, episode 307, little play on the numbers there. And then we see a shootout drive over, but no axing, right? The axe doesn't get to come into play.
No, well, he brings it out, but he gets shot in the head before he gets to use it. But, you know, he had that chance to kill Hank after the other brother had been smashed between those two cars. And
yeah.
He's too easy, and then goes to get his axe, and before he can use it, that last bullet that he dropped on the ground, Hank grabbed it and used it and was able to defend himself.
Something about those cousins made me think they were super religious, like this has to be done the right way and can't just shoot the guy, I have to chop him or do something with that axe.
Right, because he always had the axe with him.
They made a point of using that axe. It was, and actually they had used it the episode a couple episodes ago, and it's all nice and clean and polished up again.
Right. I think it's scary.
Pretty crazy. Yeah, I was like, are they just trying to be scary, or is there some weird religious thing that they're up to?
Well, they use the same axe as they did. They copied it from the Jack Nicholson movie. What is the one with the...
The Shining.
The Shining, yes. Yep, they wanted to use the same kind. So just a little fun fact there.
So Hank's injured, and what looks like Jesse and Walt are going to be back together, and we're going to move on to our next episode next time we have our podcast. But we're going to skip one. There's no Saul in 308. 308 is ICU, but Saul does not appear, so we won't be covering that one in any detail. Our next episode is 309, Kafka-esque. And if you want to reach us, you can find us on West Coast Project. My Twitter is @scathingtweets. And Kelly, what's yours?
It is BRBA_funfacts.
Okay, cool. You got any news for Fun Facts or Better Call Saul Fun Facts or Breaking Bad Fun Facts that you want to update people on?
I just had one today that you should check out about the Crystal Ship and how it was demolished and what they used to do that and where the real one is now. So check that out on Breaking Bad Fun Facts on Facebook or Instagram.
All right, cool. And you can find those links on our website if you can't remember all the names and numbers, just look on them and click on them on West Coast Project. All right, Kelly, that's it for 307. I will see you next time on 309.
All right, sounds good.
All right, I'll talk to you then.
All right, bye-bye.